To Live with Passion and the Teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of Live with Passion. So glad that you tuned in. I'm praying that God's going to speak to your heart. Wanted to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Don't you know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one wins? So run that you may win. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we do it to receive an imperishable wreath. Paul is comparing discipleship to that of an Olympic runner. And when you think about it, discipleship is a journey. It's a pilgrimage. We're in a race, if you will. We're all kind of running to some degree. And it all has to do with growth and moving and going forward. And so Paul looks at the Olympic runner, and the first thing he's saying is participate, don't just be a spectator. I mean, be fully involved with discipleship. Let it become your whole life. And then, like an Olympian, keep your eyes on the prize. And what's the prize for an Olympian? He talked about a wreath. They used to take a wild olive branches from an olive tree, and they would weave them together for a wreath for the Olympic runner, for the winner. Nowadays, we have gold medals, silver medals, and bronze medals. I understand the gold medal is worth some $20,000. And so when the Olympian is exercising and practicing and training and getting ready, they try to keep their eyes on the prize. They envision themselves up on the medal stand receiving that gold medal. Paul was telling us that that's the way discipleship is, that we ought not just to be a disciple, we ought to be looking forward to the glory to come. The Bible talks about the crown of glory and the crown of life. And those aren't just words or even metaphors. One day we will receive the glory if we're faithful, if we're disciplined, if we're participators, if we run to win. The other thing Paul was saying with this metaphor is that like an Olympian, we have to train. You and I are in training. We are growing. We're exercising. We are progressing. We're not just staying still. You never see an Olympian who is lazy. So Paul talks about self-control. In fact, when Paul was speaking to the procurator of Judea, his name was Felix. He was the governor of all of Judea. He goes before him and he talked to him about self-control of all things, because self-control is important. And especially if you're an athlete, self-control means that you can't go out and party all night. You have to avoid certain foods. You have to go to bed at certain times, early to bed, early to rise. And then self-discipline is the other side of the coin. And that has to do with exercising. It has to do with being proactive. It has to do with training. And Paul is telling us by giving us this metaphor that the Christian life is very similar. We can't just live the way we want to live. We have to live a self-controlled life. By the way, that's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's when we avoid sin. That's when we eat right. That's when we just don't stay up all night and drink what we want. We have to be self-controlled. And then the other side of the coin is self-disciplined. And discipline means that you're proactive. It means that you get in the fight, that you're a participator, that you try to realize your destiny and become all that you can be. I'm an avid golfer and love to play golf, and I watch golf on television. And lately, one golfer has caused a stir in the golf world. His name is Bryson DeChambeau. And Bryson was a good golfer and he was a pro golfer, but then during the pandemic when all the sports stopped, what Bryson did was he started exercising and bulking up and he gained 40 pounds of muscle. Now, when he hits his drives, he hits them further than anybody on the tour. He averages 324 yards for every drive. Can you imagine? And he has won some tournaments, finished near the top in others. And what he's doing is he's causing quite a stir. CNN asked, is Bryson DeChambeau changing the world of golf? Apparently so, because other golfers are bulking up, trying to gain distance, and becoming all that they can be. See, that's what self-discipline does. You spend time exercising. You work hard. You're in training. And it's the same in the Christian life. We spend time reading the Bible, spend time reading good books, spend time in prayer, avoiding sin. Self-discipline has great rewards and brings us to the top. It was in 2020 during the pandemic, the Summer Olympics in Tokyo were canceled or postponed. And all the Olympians were all distressed because they were in training. They were exercising, using self-discipline, working hard, and now it's all been delayed. So self-discipline has great rewards. And in order to achieve your destiny and to become all that we can be, we have to exercise self-control and self-discipline. And I have found in my own life that both are important. Self-control would be more like the stop light, the red light. We can't eat certain things and can't do certain things. And self-discipline is the green light. You exercise, you study, you read, you're in training. You put the two together and you can live a magnificent, fulfilling life. I read a book that I absolutely loved. It was by a Navy SEAL. His name is Admiral William McRaven. And he wrote a book with a strange title. It's called Make Your Bed. And in the book, he talks about how they, as Navy SEALs, they did all kinds of training exercises, and they actually did some raids. The SEALs were the ones, if you remember, who actually did the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound, and they killed Osama bin Laden. These are the elite fighting servicemen who have done amazing work and continue to protect our country, but they are highly trained. They go through incredible circumstances. And in the book, Make Your Bed, he talks about it. He said, if you want to be a self-disciplined person, you got to start by making your bed in the morning. I believe that if you start small, you can work your way up. You don't do 100 pull-ups the first time. Maybe you can only do 5, and then the next day you can do 6. It's progressive. And that's the Christian life. It's a journey. It's incremental. It's progressive. I remember the story of Joyce Meyer talking about making your bed. One day, years ago, before she became a media missionary, before she had written books, she was just simply making her bed. And as she was making her bed, notice it wasn't when she was looking at the Grand Canyon or up on a mountaintop somewhere or standing by the edge of the sea, looking out at the ocean. As she's making her bed, she hears a voice of God. And it tells her that she was going to have a large teaching tape ministry and it was going to go all around the world. Wow, doing that simple task. And so she talks about that and says that don't be lazy. Do what you need to do to get started. She says that people, they want to have this worldwide ministry. They want to cast demons out of their city, and they don't even have authority over a sink of dirty dishes. I think that's so funny because it's so true. People want this big ministry, and they want to, you know, have this effect upon the world, and their whole life is in shambles. Well, start by making your bed, doing the dishes, washing your car, cleaning out your garage. And then maybe when you get a little self-discipline in your life, then you can progress to other things. Don't try to start at the top. Start at the bottom and incrementally go up little by little. Self-discipline is so important, and I know that from my own life. And self-discipline and self-control is what helps us to realize our destiny. People sometimes will come up to me and say, Father Cedric, you've written 24 books. How do you find the time? And I kind of smile and I say, well, thank you for recognizing that. I appreciate it, but I don't find the time. I make the time. You have to make the time to write. Self-discipline came to me, by the way, the word discipline, disciple, same root word. To be a disciple, a follower of Christ, you have to have discipline in your life, self-control, self-discipline. I have this gift of not being lazy. In fact, I despise laziness and procrastination. I think it destroys destinies. I think it ruins lives. I realize that our emotions all want us to just sit in front of a TV and eat pistachios and just lounge around all the time. I get that. But to me, I can't stand it. It makes me feel guilty, and I was made for more than that, and so were you. Self-discipline is a gift. And we all have it, I believe. You just have to let it come out. What I do in the mornings is from 8:30 to 11 o'clock when I'm fresh, after I've gotten up and prayed and cleaned up. After I've done all that, I spend time, 8:30 to 11, writing. That's when I'm fresh. And I've discovered that you have to do it day after day after day, and it becomes a routine, a habit. Then you gain momentum. You don't just do it one day and not do it the next. Every once in a while I'm interrupted, but for the most part, that is my time dedicated to writing or to writing new scripts for television. Somebody asked me one time what the hardest thing about my ministry is it traveling, living out of a suitcase? And I looked at him and I said, no, the hardest thing for me is creating new scripts for television. I can't just say the same thing week in and week out. Nobody will watch. I have to produce creative, engaging, biblical, practical programs that will affect people's lives. And they all have to be different. And if they're not different, people will turn them off. They don't like to watch reruns. So the hardest thing is to create these scripts and to get to know them and then proclaim them on TV. Somebody said one time, why don't you get a ghostwriter? They'll do it for you. Well, maybe they will, but I don't want to share with you somebody else's heart. I want to share with you my heart and what God's doing in me. And I know that self-discipline and self-control are extremely important. One of my purposes in proclaiming these television programs to you and writing my books is I certainly want you to have a personal relationship with God. That's number one. But I want you to grow in virtue. We're talking about the virtues here, self-discipline, self-control. Remember, Paul comes before the governor of Judea. He's on trial. And what does he talk about? He talks about self-control. He's telling us that virtue is what's important in life. I want you to grow. I want you to realize your potential. You all have a destiny. God has called you to become magnificent and to live excellent lives. The name of the series is You Are Called by Name. And in order to fulfill your call, and God has called you to a relationship with Him, but also to realizing your potential. But in order to fulfill that call, you must be self-controlled and self-disciplined. Things won't just fall on you. You have to, like an Olympian, be in training. And you can do it. You will develop a momentum and a good habit by doing things over and over and over again. Have to be motivated. How do you get motivated to be self-controlled? And how do you get motivated to be self-disciplined? For an Olympian, they're motivated by keeping their eyes on the prize. They see themselves with a gold medal. They see themselves with the wreath, with the fame and the money that comes from being an Olympian and being a champion. But for us as Christians, how do we get motivated? First of all, my prime motivation, what inspires me, what encourages me, what energizes me, is my call. This series, again, it's all about being called. You are called. In one of my other episodes, I talked about that before we were born, before God formed us in our mother's womb, in fact, before the world was created, God called us. This is billions of years ago. God had us in mind, and He called us. And what did He call us to? Of course, a personal relationship with Himself. But we are also called to develop virtue, to become all that we can be, to live with passion, and to realize our destiny. So my prime motivation and what really inspires me is getting in touch with my call. And part of self-discipline, it breeds more self-discipline. Remember, there's a momentum that develops. As you spend time in prayer, you get in touch with the call that God has in your life, and then you are energized, you're encouraged, you're motivated to do more. And then, of course, I'm motivated by other people that I see who are living their call well. Just like an Olympian, you know, perhaps some person has joined the Olympics or been in training to be a figure skater or to be a weightlifter or to be a swimmer because they've seen somebody that has been a great role model for them. Well, I think about all the people that have come before me that I've seen, people like Billy Graham or Pope John Paul II, and so many beautiful priests that I've met that live the life well, that have excellence with their prayer life. And that motivates me too. And I'm hoping that I'm motivating you to be excellent and to be all that you can be and to live with passion. One of my prime motivators has to do with people who encourage me. And that's what this program is all about too. It's trying to encourage you and to inspire you. Whenever I proclaim a program and then after it's over, people call the number, buy my books, and I see all the orders that come in. And that inspires me to write more books and to write books that will be engaging and that will touch your lives. People that are my partners inspire me and motivate me. People that give weekly, monthly. I so treasure my partners. I've met some of you I've never met, but you are here with me. In fact, as you're seeing me on the screen right now, if you were to see what's really going on, you would see over 1,000 people standing behind me as my partners. That's how I can reach out all around the world. So my partners, those who buy my resources, those who make donations, those who minister with me, who are a part of my ministry, inspire me. The letters that I receive inspire me and motivate me. People in prison, I have people in prison because these programs go into jails and prisons. They're donating to my ministry, if you can imagine that. They write me letters. They inspire me by what they write. And I got a letter from a woman. She's not in prison, but I just wanted to share it. This inspires me. She said, "Father, I want to become a member of the Catholic Church." Now, if you know anything about me, I'm a Catholic priest, and I'm happy if you become a Catholic, but I'm not trying to make you Catholic. I'm trying to make you a follower of Christ in whatever denomination you want to be. I'm happy with that. Just give your life to Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be saved and worship any way you want to be. If you want to be Catholic, all the better. She said, "I want to be a member of the Catholic Church. Get this. I accept Jesus as my Savior and the forgiveness of my sins, and I dedicate my life to serving Him." This inspires me. This makes it all worthwhile. This is why I exercise self-control and self-discipline, because people are coming to Christ. And by the way, when you partner with me, when you donate to me, to my ministry, it's not so that I can buy an airplane or buy a big fancy house. I'm a priest with a vow of poverty. It is so that we can reach out to people like this, reach into the prisons, reach out to people that are young. When I write my books, I write them for specific audiences, such as elderly people, young people, people involved in sports. I have a book called Golf and God so that I can dialogue with these people, people that are suffering physically. I try to reach different people that are going through different things in practical ways. but it takes a lot of self-control and self-discipline. But my point is that you inspire me by your letters, by your support, by your encouraging words, and I'm hoping that I'm encouraging you and inspiring you. But I do get critiqued. People that watch my program, they say things like, oh, Father, you know, I don't like the particular set that you have, or you move too much, or you use your hands too much, and why do you call yourself Father? Doesn't it say in the Bible you're not supposed to call yourself a father? Well, Paul the Apostle said that I am your Father in Christ, and I am your Father in Christ. So forget all the denominational lines. People, for some reason, make it their mission to critique other people. All ministers will tell you this, that they get critiqued by all kinds of different people. And I like what President Theodore Roosevelt said. He wrote about people that critiqued him. And he wrote prose and he called it the man in the arena. I put this on the wall of my bedroom. He said, it's not the critic who counts, nor those who point out the stumbles. The credit belongs to the man in the arena, the one who does great deeds with great enthusiasm. And if he fails, he fails by daring greatly. I love that phrase, daring greatly. Now, I wouldn't be critiqued. Nobody would ever say anything about me if I was a mouse inside a little square box in my room, afraid to do anything, or too lazy to write a book, or too lazy to produce for television. Nobody would say a word. I'd rather get critiqued and dare greatly, to get letters that I just shared with you, to reach out to people in prison, to be making a difference to people that are hurting. That's what this is all about. That's what my life as a priest is all about. And yeah, I'll get the critique that comes. Jesus was definitely critiqued. They tried to kill him in Nazareth. Then eventually, as you know, they crucified him. Because he spoke out against injustice, because he reached out to the marginalized. So if you want to do anything great in life, yeah, you are going to be critiqued. But dare greatly. Live with passion. See what you have in you. Realize your potential. Become all that you can be. That's what I'm all about with Live with Passion. Many of you have been watching me for years, and I want to help you do that. I want to tell you that there's no excuses. I read a book recently by a man named John Fopp. He almost died at birth. He was born without arms. And he wrote a book called What's Your Excuse? The book is fascinating. I saw myself in him as I read this book. Imagine going through life, going to school, and how the kids laughed at him because he had no arms. Imagine trying to get dressed, brush your teeth, eat food, do anything without arms. Now John Fopp is a motivational speaker. He has spoken all around the world, and he wrote that book called What's Your Excuse? It made me so appreciate the good things and the blessings that I have. And if he can do what he does with no arms, what can we do with arms? Or maybe you have some kind of a, quote, handicap, and he says, never use the word handicap or disabled. You're other-abled. You may have a condition, old age, Parkinson's. Maybe you are missing an appendage, I don't know. He calls it a condition. You may have something like that, but it doesn't have to stop you. Doesn't stop athletes. They aren't always the best when they start out, but what they do is they work at it. They're disciplined. They're self-controlled. And the race doesn't always go to the one who's swiftest. It's the one who works the hardest and exercises self-control and self-discipline. I remember an interview with Michael Phelps, the great Olympian. Michael Phelps won all these gold medals, I think the most ever. He won 23 gold medals, 28 medals in total. And he talked about winning. And he said for years, he had mental health struggles, depression, and he even contemplated suicide because he realized that even with all the gold medals, and it's so hard to compete and to win, in some ways they're all fleeting. And that's why Olympians will get depressed, because after it's over, it's fleeting. And it's fading. But Christianity offers us eternity. And that's why it's so worth being self-controlled and self-disciplined. My prayer for you is that you will become all that you can be, that you will realize that you're in training, that you won't be lazy, that you will exercise self-control and self-discipline and realize your potential. And one day, the Son of God will put the crown of glory upon you. Keep your eyes on the prize and don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.